Praise the Lord. Beautiful song, and what a great truth that is to think about. After 10,000 years in heaven, we'll just be getting warmed up. Amen? I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Praise the Lord. That is so good. And what a blessing. Father, thank you for this time that we can look into your word, and I pray you'll use it in our lives, you'll speak to our hearts, give us exactly what we need from your word today. I pray for anyone here today who perhaps has never trusted Jesus as their Savior. They're not saved. They don't know they're going to heaven. Lord, I pray that when they leave here today, they'll know for sure that heaven is their home. And help all of us to listen and to let you speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I go to Calvary and the cross and our first passage that we read from, John chapter 19. And there is Jesus hanging on the cross. He's been beaten. He's bloodied. He's suffering. We cannot begin to imagine the suffering that Jesus endured on the cross. And, of course, there's his mother and his mother's sister, and there's Mary Magdalene. And verse 26, though, it says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved." Now, John, this is in the book of John, and John refers to himself often as the disciple whom Jesus loved, or the disciple whom he loved here. And John calls himself that. He felt very loved by Jesus. But the amazing thing about John that you notice about John as you study him, and we're going to look at this morning, is that John was as close to Jesus as he could be all the time. I mean, John was very, very close, and therefore he felt the love of Jesus. And here, as Jesus is hanging on the cross, there's John. And John is standing there, and Jesus gives him a very important job to take care of his mother. But there's John. Where's all the other disciples? Well, the Bible says they forsook him and fled. But there's John standing by the cross. I read that, and I think of why wouldn't they be by the cross? Why wouldn't the other disciples be there? Well, you know, it's amazing how we can be so proud of Jesus till we get to the cross and think about the cross, and all of a sudden we don't talk so much about Jesus. We can be very religious, but boy, when it comes to that cross, when it comes to Calvary, when it comes to the price that had to be paid for our sins to be forgiven, we're not so vocal. We're not so excited. And I kind of think of us when I think about those other disciples. But truth of the matter is, I would challenge you this morning to be like John and not forsake Jesus when he's at the cross. And so there's John. Jesus is suffering, and there's John. In Revelation 1, we preached on this, and you're going to hear several messages out of Revelation. But in Revelation 1, John, of course, is on the Isle of Patmos, and he is suffering. Now, John is suffering. And I read that passage, or had us read that passage, because Jesus is with him there on the Isle of Patmos. So Jesus is on the cross, and he's suffering, and there's John. And now John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he's suffering, and there's Jesus. And for some reason, this text has been going through my mind, James 4 and verse 8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Last Sunday night, I preached on in the Spirit from Revelation 1 and how John was in the Spirit. But it all starts with draw nigh to God. Everything starts with draw nigh to God. We talked about all that God showed him, talked about all that God did, and certainly all of that is true. But everything starts with draw nigh to God. It all starts there. You know, Jesus is suffering on the cross, and there's John. John said, "I'm the disciple Jesus loved." He felt Jesus' love because he was so close to him. You're here today and you say, "You know, I'm not sure anybody cares. I'm not so sure Jesus really cares. I'm not real excited about the things of God. I don't read my Bible. I'm not excited." Understand this. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you know how much he loves you. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you know how he is there. And so John, it's no surprise as John has been banished to the Isle of Patmos. It's no surprise right away in Revelation, there's Jesus right there with John. I want to talk to you this morning about those words, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. Number one, draw nigh to look. draw nigh to look. I think about drawing nigh, and I think about getting as close as I can to something. I want to draw nigh. I want to get close to it. We will do that many times when something is happening. Maybe it's something bad, like a car wreck or something, and a crowd will gather, and people are trying to look and everything, and maybe it could be something good. There's something going on in the streets, and maybe a parade or something. People are drawing nigh, and they're trying to get the closest look that they possibly can, and so the first thing I think about is draw nigh to look. You know, there's a lot of things God wants us to see. And I think about John and James and John, of course, were brothers, and they were fishermen. They were in their ship mending nets, and Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee. And out there in the ship, you know, James and John, they're going about their day like they normally would. They're working very hard. They're mending their nets. They want to cast those nets out and catch a lot of fish. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes walking along the shore. And, you know, everywhere Jesus goes, something happens. Amen. And if you let it, it'll happen with you as well. And so Jesus is walking along the shore, and there's Simon and Andrew, and they're working as well, and they also are fishermen. And in my mind, you know, I envision this, and I see over here in a ship is James and John, and right here Jesus walks by, and he sees Simon and Andrew, and he calls out, "Hey," he says, "I'll make you follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And Simon and Andrew, they say, you know, let's do this and let's go. And they draw nigh to him. They want to see what's going on. But now I think a crowd is starting to gather and there's a stirring going on. By the way, there ought to always be a stirring going on where Jesus is. Amen? There ought to always be. I like it in the book of Acts when it talks about there being no small stir. That means there was a big stir. And that's the result of Jesus doing something. There's a stir going on. People kind of want to see what's going on. You know, we have folks all the time give testimony about at work, and they're talking about the things of God that's happening in their lives, and maybe they'll give a testimony of how good God is in their life and how God answered this prayer and God provided this. And pretty soon folks gather around them and say, "Hey, would you pray for my loved one? Hey, would you pray for my situation? Hey, I've got a need, and I know you're a Christian. I've heard your testimony." You know what they're doing? They're causing a stir. And I believe in my mind, I see Jesus on the shore of Galilee, and he calls out to Simon and Andrew, and I think there's a stir, and a crowd is starting to gather. And James and John, you know, they're working, and they maybe look up, and they kind of get a little closer in the ship to see what's going on, and Jesus sees them. He says, "Follow me. Follow me." And they say, "You know, I got to see what's going on. Draw nigh to look. Draw nigh to look." You know, that's the one thing about Jesus. You ought to want a closer look at Jesus. You want to get closer. And the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And you know, folks will criticize, "I'm not interested in Jesus. I don't want anything to do with that Christianity. I don't want anything." Oh, listen to me. Draw nigh and get a look. I mean, draw nigh and look and really look hard at the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what John wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 1. Go ahead and turn there. 1 John 1, 1. Here's what he said about the look. 1 John 1, 1, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." He said, I've looked upon him. I've seen him. I watched what he did. I've seen his miracles. I've seen his blessings. I've seen what he can do. And he said, "Hey, I testify to you, he is God. I testify that he has been manifested," as he says in John chapter 1. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, incarnate, God in the flesh. He is who he says he is. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Draw nigh to look. You'll see the truth if you'll draw nigh to look. If you really want to see draw nigh. You sit here as a Christian. You say, you know, I've been saved for a few years, and I'm not real excited about the things of God. And I'm not, hey, you know what? You need to draw nigh. You need to get in your Bible. You need to look hard at what Jesus has done and what your salvation is and what he says about it. And draw nigh to get a good, good look like John did. Draw nigh. And you know, John, again, on the Isle of Patmos, he didn't have to turn around and say, who are you? He didn't have to wonder. Why? Because he looked real hard at Jesus. He studied Jesus. And God showed him amazing things. Later, with Peter and James, he saw a 12-year-old girl raised from the dead. Why? Because he said, I want to see. I want to see what you have, God. I want to see it with my eyes. He saw with Peter and James, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ glorified at the Transfiguration. He saw Jesus Christ himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating, praying so fervently that he sweat drops of blood. Literally, look at John 21, verse 25. You talk about his life being changed. Watch what he says. John 21 and verse 25, he says this. He says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. He said, I saw so many things. But you know where it started? It started with, he drew nigh to look. He said, I want to see what this is all about. I want to see if this is really true. I want to see for myself. And you know, I'm afraid a lot of Christians, maybe you take somebody else's word for it. Maybe you're a young person. You've taken your parents' word for it. That's not a bad start. But the truth of the matter is, you need to draw nigh yourself. You need to draw nigh yourself into the Word of God. You need to draw nigh yourself into the closet of prayer. You need to draw nigh yourself to look and see all that God has for you and I. I think about what John said at the end of the book of John, and he says, you know, the world couldn't contain all the things Jesus did. You know, because he saw him, he knew he's God. And there's not a book around that could tell us everything that he's done. It literally changed his life because of that look. That look. You know, we came to church today. I don't know what you came to get. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. Maybe you came so that folks would see your new outfit. Maybe you came because we're just supposed to go to church. Maybe you came. And again, I'm not upset why you came, but I beg you this morning, draw nigh to look. Draw nigh to God. Say, I'm curious. I want to see. Isn't it amazing how we get curious about a website? Isn't it amazing how we get curious about an event? Isn't it something how we get curious about the things of the world? I wish today that somebody would say, you know, I see John on that island, and I see John seemingly all alone, and I see him suffering, his body in pain, and I see him there that going through that tough time. But all of a sudden now, I see that here's somebody that has looked upon Jesus. He has seen all of Jesus' works, or many of Jesus' works. He has watched Jesus do amazing things, and now he himself is receiving the comfort because he drew nigh to God and God drew nigh to him. You say, you know, I want God to draw nigh to me. Draw nigh to him. Well, I need God. Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to look. Look at what God can do. Look at what God has done. Number two, not only should we draw nigh to look, but number two, we need to draw nigh to listen. We need to draw nigh to God so that we can listen. Back in 1 John 1 and verse 1, not only did he see, but he testifies this. And we just went through all this in the book of Revelation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. He saw him, but he also heard him. And you know, many times we'll, and sad to say, you'll hear a little group talking about something and you'll draw nigh to listen to the wrong thing many times. How about if we were to draw nigh to listen to the right thing? How about if we get excited about the right thing? What? God said what? Jesus said what? Jesus told those two fishermen, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. Wow. Hey, James, what do you think about that? Well, John, I think that's a great thing. Let's see what's going on. Yeah, and I'm listening for more. Amen. I want to hear something else. Oh, listen. Draw nigh to look but draw nigh to listen. He said, we heard what he said. We heard his preaching. We heard him pray. We heard him do these things. John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. That's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice. You know, it's so sad. There's a lot of voices in the world, amen? I mean, there's just a whole bunch of voices. There's all kinds of voices and all kinds of voices that are calling out and all kinds of voices that cry out to us and everything. The truth of the matter is, we need to hear his voice. I mean, the devil has a lot of voices. And he has a lot of voices out there that call out to you. And a lot of voices that maybe don't look harmful. Maybe they don't look bad. But they're not his voice. And what we need to do is we need to say, God, I want to hear you. I said this last Sunday night, and I mean this with all my heart. We ought to come to church saying, God, I want to hear you. God, I want to see you do something, but I want to hear you. I want to hear what you have for me. I want you to speak to my heart. It's interesting that John, look at Mark chapter 1 and verse 22. Mark 1 and verse 22. Something got John's attention along with all the disciples, along with everyone who heard Jesus. Mark chapter 1 and verse 22. The Bible says right after they followed him. Verse 20, straightway he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And watch this. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. I mean, this John is. I mean, this is the first preaching he's heard from Jesus. Well, sure, he got curious. He heard him call out, "Hey, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And I think he wanted to see what was going on. But now he's heard Jesus, and now he's hearing him preach and teach. And he says, "Wow, he's preaching like he's the authority." I'll be honest with you. If you know. We'll stop a lot of things that we do so we can hear the president. Or to hear some big announcement. Or somebody that is important to us. Come on. How many people, and I don't want you to raise your hands, but LeBron James, he's going to announce where he's going to play. And last year, I mean, people stopped everything they were doing. I want to hear where he's going. You know, folks drew nigh to hear that. John said, I believe this with all my heart. He said, James, I think that's God. I think he has authority. He speaks. He doesn't apologize for what he says. He doesn't say, I think. He says, I know. He doesn't say, well, maybe. He said, this is how it is. He speaks as an authority on this subject. You know, we're living in a day where, sad to say, Christianity is one great big apology. So much of it is one great big, or it's one great big, well, in other versions it says, and maybe in this version it's left out, and come on, that's weak, it's watered down, it's namby-pamby. Our Lord Jesus, when he spoke, it was with authority. And I'll tell you why people don't want to listen today, is because it's been so watered down. I beg with you and I plead with you today, listen to me. He wants you to listen to him. Listen. Draw nigh. God, I can't hear you. Lord Jesus, I can't hear you. There's a lot of noise. I want to hear you, Lord. Draw nigh to look. Draw nigh to listen. My sheep hear my voice. In Revelation 1, he knew the voice before he turned and saw who it was. He knew. How did he know? Because he'd been listening. He'd been listening to him. So much confusion in our world. Draw nigh so you know his voice. Draw nigh to him so you know what he says. Draw nigh to him so that you're not part of the confusion. God is not the author of confusion. His voice is clear. His voice is with authority. Draw nigh so you hear it. Because there's a lot of voices in the world. Somebody says, how with all the cults and all the different religions and everything, how do you know the truth? My sheep hear my voice and follow me. Huh? How can I get through all the stuff? Listen, draw nigh so that you can hear his voice. Draw nigh to listen to him. You know, you say, well, I'm as confused as everybody else. Listen to me. The problem is you got to listen to him. You can't, look, Jesus' voice doesn't have a controller on it. All right, we're so used to our clickers, okay? Don't put him on pause. We do that a lot. Don't put him on fast forward. I'll get through this part and skip that. Don't skip him. God, I want to hear everything you have to say. I want to hear it all. I want to hear it. I want to hear what I don't like. I want to hear it. I want to hear it all. Remember when you used to be like that? You came to church, nothing bothered you. Preacher, preach hard. And it just didn't bother you. Now, it doesn't mean you were perfect. Doesn't mean you were doing everything right. But it was God's word. And it didn't bother you. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. Draw nigh to look. Draw nigh to listen. And then the third reason to draw nigh, number three, is draw nigh to lean. Draw nigh to lean. Over and over in the Bible, it talks about John, especially in the book of John. He's leaning on Jesus all the time. You know, where's Peter? Where's James? Where's everybody else? Oh, well, where's John? We know where John is. He's leaning on, oh, there he is, leaning on Jesus again. Boy, what is his problem? He learned something that was so important. He learned how to lean on Jesus. Amen. And understand this. You know, he learned how to lean, and the Bible describes it as physically he leaned on Jesus. But John learned how not only physically to lean on Jesus, but he learned how to spiritually lean on Jesus as well. Three things under this I want you to get. Number one, or capital A, is lean for salvation. John, read the book of John. Read all the way through it. You talk about somebody who understood that there's only one way to get to heaven. John 14:6, I am the way. He caught that. Jesus said, I am the way. There isn't any other way. I'm the way. You have to lean on me for salvation. In John chapter 3, ye must be born again. There's no other option. You must be. Lean on Jesus for salvation. There is no other way. In the Gospel of John, four words are key words. The first one is belief. 99 times in the book of John, the word belief is used. What's that mean? That means I'm leaning because I trust in what I'm leaning against. I can lean on this pulpit. I'm leaning on it right now. Isn't that amazing? Now, I wouldn't do that, not with that huge fall there. I wouldn't do that if I didn't trust it. You know, I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe it would hold me. You know what John's saying? John's saying, believe. But believe in what you can trust and believe in what you know can hold you. He says, I know Jesus. I know whom I've believed. That's what Paul said. Lean on him for salvation. What's another word? Truth is used in the book of John. Life is used over and over. Heaven is used over and over again. What's John saying? He said, I've got it all on Jesus. I'm leaning on him for my salvation. Hey, what would your testimony be today? Would you say, you know what? I'm trusting completely in Jesus. Or are you trusting in your membership? Are you trusting in your baptism? Are you trusting in your good works? Are you trusting in the fact that you had a relative that was a pastor or a deacon or something like that? What are you trusting in today? Today, what is it that's going to get you to heaven someday? Is it going to be something you did or is it going to be what he did? What John is saying is lean on him. And the only way to lean is you got to draw nigh. You got to draw nigh to Jesus and lean on him for salvation. How about it today? Have you leaned on Jesus? I'm telling you, John was convinced that Jesus was the way and is the way. Look at John 3, verse 36. John 3:36. Totally convinced. There was no other way. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Do you notice there? There's a line. He that believeth, he that believeth not. There's no in between, no gray areas, no purgatory. Huh? It's just, you believe, you believe not. You know what he said? He said, I believe. And I'm leaning. Oh, how we need to learn to lean. I love the old song, learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. How do you learn to lean? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Before I lean on anything, I got to make sure it'll hold me. And I learned, hey, Jesus, you can lean on Him. And you lean on Him for salvation. You say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. You need to trust Jesus Christ. You need to lean on Jesus Christ for your salvation. You have to draw nigh. You draw nigh to look. You draw nigh to listen. You draw nigh to lean and lean for salvation. Secondly, under this drawing nigh to lean, you need to lean for security. I've got to lean on Him for my security as well. Not just my salvation. I know He's the way. I know He's the truth. I know He's the life. But I have to know for sure. And first, second, third John, the word know. K-N-O-W. 35 times. No. By this we know. Ye shall know. This way you can know. If you do this, you know. We know. No. It's, you know, if you're going to lean on something for security, okay? If you have a cane, you don't get some piece of cardboard to lean on. You get a solid stick. Because I'm going to lean on this thing. If I'm going to lean on the pulpit, it's got to be solid. In my life, listen, I've got to know that I can lean on Him for my security. Why do so many people think they can lose their salvation? Huh? It's because they haven't learned to lean on Jesus. You know what they're still leaning? They're still leaning on their own works. You know how flimsy that is? That'd be like a paper cane. Huh? That'd be like a vapor cane, our own good works. Because honestly, our own good works only last. Well, they don't last. Since the Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Lean on Him for salvation, but lean on Him for security. What's John say about it? John chapter 10, verse 28. He talks about it. John 10, verse 28. By inspiration of God. Let me tell you, John 10, 28, it'll settle things for you. The Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish. Who's He talking about? Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. They shall never perish. They shall never perish. John said, I'm leaning on Him. I'm secure in Him. He said we'll never perish. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. It's pretty solid. You say, well, you know, I keep losing my salvation. No, you don't. Either you don't have it, or you do, and you're not leaning on Him for security. Look, your salvation was because of Him. And your security is because of Him. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It has never been of works, lest any man should boast. It is not going to be of works, lest any man should boast. Your works, once you're saved, your works cannot take you to hell. It is impossible. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you when you get saved, and He's not going to hell. And if He did go to hell, it'd no longer be hell. So understand, we need to lean on Him, but you have to draw nigh. You know, that's why so many folks are a mess today. You come to church and your life is such a wreck and you don't know where to go and where to turn or anything like that. The truth of the matter is, He's right there. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. Lean on Him for salvation. Lean on Him for security. And then the third thing, lean for sleep. Proverbs 3, verse 24. I like this. My wife loves this verse. She has had experiences in the past, that nightmares and different things in Proverbs 3. And I remember the first time we read this together and we learned it, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. Amen. Understand this. We can lean on Him. And we can lean on Him and we can rest leaning on Him. Oh yeah, you lean on Him for salvation. You lean on Him for security. And then you read the paper and you say, what am I going to do? You can lean on Him for that too. Huh? Why? Because Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 says, lean not unto your own understanding. What's that mean? Lean on Him. Huh? Draw nigh to Him. Lean on Him. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Understand, the closer you get to Him, the farther you get from you. And if you look, you say, yeah, this, you know, I just don't see how it'll work. You don't see how it'll work because you haven't looked. You don't see how it'll work because you haven't listened. You don't see how it'll work because you haven't leaned. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need to look, you need to listen, and then you lean. Preacher says, I can really lean on Jesus. You can. And you should. And you'll find rest. He is very leanable. He is solid as solid could be. He is the rock. Amen? You can lean upon Him. Draw nigh to look. Draw nigh to listen. Draw nigh to lean. Number four, draw nigh to learn. I love this passage, John 13. Go to John chapter 13. This is so good. And this is, again, these are people just like us. I, John, your brother and companion, just like us. John 13, verse 21. Well, what a disturbing time this was. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So understand, all the disciples are gathered around. Now we all know, because we've read it, who's going to betray? Judas. All right, we know that. But they didn't know that. And here's all the disciples. I mean, these guys are a team, all right? And they're going out and people are getting healed and people are getting saved and lives are being changed and all these great things are happening. And Jesus says these words, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And everybody, can you imagine the disciples? It says, then the disciples looked one on another. What do you suppose they were thinking? Yeah. Doubting of whom he spake. They can't believe it. Now, I know if it was a typical Baptist group, they would be looking one upon another and saying, I know it was him. And then they pass it on to everybody else they knew too, surmising and guessing and wondering. And by the way, that's why we're such a mess today, to be real honest with you. Watch what somebody who leans on Jesus, watch somebody who draws nigh to God, watch what he does. Verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. So who's there? John. Yeah, there he is. He's already leaning on Jesus. That's what he did. That's how he lived. He was so close. Verse 24, here's Simon Peter. Simon Peter, he speaks out all the time. He's very rambunctious. He said, Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. So Simon Peter, maybe he's over across the table. Maybe he's over here. He said, hey, Lord, tell us who. Verse 25, he then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? I love it. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I've dipped it. Peter and James, they're all looking around. By the way, one of them knew who it was, didn't he? Lord, can you tell me who it is? Why, it's the one that when I give a sop, the one that dips. Yeah, when the one after I dip it and I give it, that's who it is. And that's something. Who knew? John. Judas. Everybody wanted to know, but only one leaned closer. John. The closer you get to Him, the farther you get from you, and the more you learn. By the way, the more you learn is why you get farther from you. The closer we get to Him, Isaiah said it best, "Woe unto me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." That's the closer you get to Him, you see who you are. Wow, I don't want to be like that. But the closer, draw nigh to learn. The one who leaned closer was John, and the closer person found out. Let me add something here. You know, people say, well, it's just too hard to understand the Bible. Not if you lean close. It's amazing how obvious things are the more you draw nigh to Him. It really is amazing. You sit here today and say, you know, I'm just not getting anything out of my Bible reading. Okay, if you read your Bible without Him, you won't get anything. You should. By the way, if you come to church without Him, you're not going to get anything either. Draw nigh to Him. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Probably the ultimate. And the reason I'm preaching this message, because the book of Revelation, I had to ask myself the question, who is John? Why does John get to see everything? Why did Jesus pick John? And it hit me, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Oh yeah, He's getting comfort there on the Isle of Patmos. But more than that, He's learning. He's learning. Why? Because He's the disciple whom Jesus loved. Why? Because He leaned on Him. He stayed close to Him. He drew nigh to Him. And the book of Revelation, John learned before any other human being. John. Yeah. Why? Because he drew nigh. You said, well, this is a tough passage. I'm going to call so-and-so. Perhaps before you call so-and-so, talk to the author and say, Lord, what's this mean? Jesus, you just said something, and the crowd all says this, but I'm right here next to you, and I'd like you to tell me what that is. You're a teenager. Well, my friends want me to do this, and my parents want me to do this, and my teacher wants me to do that, and pastor wants me to do this, and Lord, there's a lot of voices out there, but could you tell me? I'm right up here close to you, Lord. Draw nigh to God. You say, I need an answer. Draw nigh to God. Well, you know, I'm having trouble with this passage. I'll get out the commentary. Before you do, draw nigh to God. I'm not saying don't get out the commentary. I'm just saying draw nigh to God. And the closer you get, the more He's going to show you and teach you and guide you and draw nigh to learn. Before any other human being, John saw it all. The things that are going to happen, he saw it all. He described it. We read it. We see it spiritually. John saw it. John heard it. Everything. Draw nigh to learn. The reason there are Christians here who you've been saved for years, but you haven't grown, is because you never drew nigh to God so you can learn what God has for you. That is the most important thing after you get saved, is just, I want to know, God, what's next? Baptism, church membership, tithing, serving, all those things. But if you draw nigh to God, you'll never have trouble with any of them. None of it. Draw nigh to learn. Number five, draw nigh to love. That's what we do, isn't it? I mean, you know, somebody starts to date, and you say, you know, I kind of think I love them. I'm starting to really love this person. I think I'll get away from them. That isn't what you do. I know Brenda and I lived 45 miles apart when we were dating. We met at a campground, and 45 miles apart. And I mean, you know, back then gas was cheap, but getting away was tough, and it was tough. But the truth is, I wanted to be near her all the time. Thank you. And I mean, it's just how it is. I want, and by the way, the more time I spent with her, the closer I wanted to be. I mean, it was just happening. For 36 years, I've known her, over 36 years now, I've known her. And the more I love her every day. I'm just, now, here's the thing. Here's how John saw himself, okay? He says about himself, he says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Stay with me now, all right? If you don't get anything, get this. All right? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, did Jesus love Peter? Of course he did. Did Jesus love James? Sure he did. Did he love Bartholomew? Of course he did. I mean, he loved them all, didn't he? Sure he did. John said about himself, and God put it in his word, the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know what John would say? If you're sitting around talking to John, you're all sitting around drinking your coffee. Well, I don't know if he'd be drinking coffee. But you're sitting around talking and everything, and maybe somebody might say, you know, I'm just not real sure about Jesus. John would look at him and say, whoa. One thing I know about that man, he loves me. He loves me. There's no question about it in my heart, my life, Jesus loves me. I know that for sure. No doubt about it. You say, why do you suppose he said that? Because he was so close to him. You could not be close to Jesus and not realize how much he loved you. And I submit to you this morning, folks, you cannot be close to Jesus and not realize how much he loves you. I know you know John 3:16, but you don't really believe it. There are folks all over this room, you don't really, it's not that big a deal to you. You've said the words already this week, I'm all alone. No, you're not. You've said these words already this week, nobody loves me. Yes, they do. Our little children sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And those little children believe that till they get older. Why do they believe it? Because he said, come, let the children come to me. Come on, children, come to me. And they do, and they wrap their arms around him, and they love him, and they know he loves them. Something happens when we get old, though, isn't it? And the only thing that happens is this, we get away from him instead of drawing nigh to him. And if you draw nigh to him, you'll know he loves you. There will be no question about it. If you draw nigh to him, you'll never say the words, nobody loves me. How did John know? Because he was so close to him. Look at 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1:3. We just have a couple more things to look at. We'll be done. 1 John 1 and verse 3. Here's what the Bible says. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He knew it. He knew it. No question about it. He knew it. And here's the thing. In our text verse that we read earlier, he was the only disciple at the cross. Hey, that man up there, he loves me. What are you doing? John, why are you here? Hey, we're getting out of here. John, you need to go with us. You don't understand. He loves me. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, but wait a minute. You can't say, no, I want him to see me. I want him to know there's somebody that loves him. And there he stood. And he watched Jesus. Jesus, you could not tell he was even a human being. Say, preacher, I couldn't do that. Well, you could do it if you knew how much he loved you. We love him because he first loved us. And so the reason so many times we don't love him like we should is because we don't realize how much and that he really loves us. And the reason we don't realize that is we don't draw nigh to him. John was leaning on him constantly. Draw nigh to love. Number 6, draw nigh to labor. He said this, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't, you know, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, I'm working for God. Well, yeah, but where's Jesus? Well, he's over there in that field. I'm working in this field. You're making a huge mistake. Huh? Same mistake Mary and Martha made. Jesus said, at the feet of Jesus, he said, that's where you need to be. Right there. We'll get the work done. You just stay with me. That's what he's saying when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's saying, a yoke is simply a stick that put two animals together. That's all. Just yoked them up. Why? So they could plow together. Yeah. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. And we'll be right next to each other and we'll get the job done. You trying to do something for God without God? Seems very irregular, doesn't it? Seems very strange. Seems very odd. And that's why things don't get done. No. Draw nigh to him. Draw nigh to him to get the work done. Draw nigh to him in prayer. Draw nigh to him as the labor comes and let him work with you. He says this. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Everybody has a yoke, by the way. You're yoked up with something or someone. Everybody has labor. All of us do. Better would be to draw nigh to him and say, Jesus, I want to work right alongside you. I need you. That's what we all need to say. I need you. You're a bus captain, you need him. Sunday school teacher, you need him. No matter what you do, whether it's secular, sacred, whatever, you work in a grocery store, you need him. Doesn't matter what you do. Draw nigh to labor. Number one, draw nigh to look. Number two, draw nigh to listen. Number three, draw nigh to lean. Number four, draw nigh to learn. Number five, draw nigh to love. Number six, draw nigh to labor. And then lastly, number seven, draw nigh to live. Draw nigh to live. Old John, you know, he's pastor at Ephesus. He's got a flock of people and God's blessing. And the Romans say, you're not going to do what you're doing. You're going to worship us. John said, you got to understand. He is my life. They said, fine, we'll punish you until you give in. And he's banished on the island of Patmos. Not a pleasant place at all. You say, how's he going to make it? Oh, he's going to make it just fine. You know why? Because a long time ago, he learned a secret. He learned to draw nigh. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know what? Really, his life didn't change a whole lot. Because the one he was closest to was right there with him. Draw nigh to live. Hey, I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything God has for me. I just have to get closer. I need his instruction. If the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, I need to know when to take the step. I need to know when to turn right. I need to know when to turn left. I've got to know that. And so there's only one way to know that, and that is I've got to draw nigh to him. See, here's what happened. You were like that at first. You were all excited at first. Maybe it was 20 years ago. And you said, you know, I'll do that. And I got saved and I'll get baptized because I know that's right. And I'll go to church and I'll become a member of the church and I'll start tithing and I'm excited. But all of a sudden something came in that he said to do. And we said, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. Again, I'm not talking about something the preacher said to do. I'm talking about something he said. I'm not talking about man's words. I'm talking about conviction in your heart. And you knew. And you even went to an altar and you prayed. And yet, you said, wow, this is hard. This is not something I like. This is unpleasant. And what happened? I'll tell you what happened. You went your own way. We call that backsliding. And you said, you know, and you know what? Your life hadn't been the same since, has it? And it won't be. Here's what he said in John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He won't run. He won't forsake me. If he love me, he'll keep my words. 1 John 2, here's what he says. 1 John chapter 2. In verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Again, notice the word know. Well, you know him by drawing nigh to him. You've learned. You've learned about him. You've looked at him. You've listened to him. Huh? John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. John chapter 15 and verse 11, he talks about life. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. But again, that's for those who are living with a close relationship with him. And in John 16, he says, no man can take your joy from you. I look around at Christian, honestly, it is one of the saddest things I believe that I see as a Christian is all the down looks of Christians instead of joy and rejoicing. How you doing? Terrible. And it's first words out. Terrible. Not good. Bad. Everything's bad. Nothing's good. And I go back to John 15, 11. That my joy might remain in you. That your joy might be full. Chapter 16, 22. A joy that no man can take from you. That means men can't do it. Men can't call you names and it take your joy away. Men can't take your money and it take your joy away. Men can't do anything to your health and it take your joy away. No one can take your joy away. It's just God. It's there. Why? Because John 15 is about abiding in Christ. And what is that? That's drawing nigh to him. John 15 and verse 5, he says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Much fruit. How's your life? Fruit is a result of our lives. Oh man, I'm making a lot of money. That's not fruit. Well, but we have to have money. Well, I understand that, but it's not fruit. It's certainly not fruit that remains because there won't be any money in heaven. You don't take your bank account with you when you go to heaven. Fruit. The result of our lives spiritually. And he said, if you abide in me, you bring forth much fruit. How is it? If the fruit inspector came through, what would he see on your vines? Nothing. But again, you have to draw nigh. He is the vine. Ye are the branches. And he says, without me, ye can do nothing. I close with this. John drew nigh all of his ministry. He just kept drawing nigh to Jesus. He physically, as they labored together, he just stayed right by him. In my mind, I see John just right there all the time. Jesus is preaching and there's John right by him. Jesus sits down and John leans on him. Jesus gets up and John gets up with him and goes where he goes and he leans on him. Jesus is preaching and everybody's getting tired and Peter sits down over here and Bartholomew sits over here. And where's John? John decides just go ahead and lean on Jesus while he preaches. I don't want to miss a thing. Don't want to miss anything. And he drew nigh all of his ministry. And there he is on the Isle of Patmos. The Romans sail away in their ship laughing, mocking the man of God, the preacher. Yeah, that'll teach him. Yeah, he'll bow down to Rome. I'll tell you what, he'll give in. He's not going to like this. Boy, this will show him. And maybe the best time of his life. Why is that? Because it's always going to be true, folks. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, "Preacher, I'm not even saved. I've never learned to lean on Jesus for salvation. I have never trusted Him as my Savior. I've never been born again. If I died, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me." Is there someone like that? You say, "Please pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved." Anyone? Raise your hand. Pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all? Pray for me. How many Christians would say, "Preacher, God has spoken to my heart about something today. I'm saved. I know that. God is dealing with me about something in my life. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand? All over. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Thank you. God bless you. Father, bless the invitation. Please help us to draw nigh to you. I pray we wouldn't just do it on Sunday morning or Sunday night. I pray we would do it daily. As I preached last week, Lord, help us to die to ourselves, but help us, God, to draw nigh to you. And God, all these things, I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. 174. 174. One of my favorite songs, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." Do you love Him? Has He spoken to you? Do what He says. As we sing, if you need to come, you come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Any others need to come? Several have come. You have a decision to make, something you need to pray about. Are you leaning on Him? Has it been a while since you just said, "God, I want to be close to you. I don't want to miss anything"? What is it God would show you? What would He tell you? What have we missed? What have we not heard? Because we just refuse to draw nigh to Him. I know when John looked around and Jesus is dying on the cross, he didn't see all those that had run with Him. He didn't see those that had seen the miracles. They weren't there. It was just Him. You say, "That's it, preacher. His cross." Oh, no, you say, "I love His cross." Why don't you tell people about it then? I can only think that the reason that we would not tell anyone is we're ashamed. Why wouldn't we tell them? We're just like the other disciples so many times. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. One more verse. If you need to come, come on this verse. Look up this way, please. 4:30, ensemble practice, several practices for the cantata, along with our choir practice at 5, and then teens at 5, of course, the prayer times all at 5, and then church service tonight at 6 o'clock. So we'll look forward to seeing everyone there tonight. Everybody's interested in, when you get a job, what are the benefits? And, what are some of the perks? I want to know about these perks. Well, I'm going to talk about some of those benefits and perks that you get when you get saved. And sad to say, we just don't think about it very much. And so I'll try to help remind us all about that. Brother Don, close in prayer, please.
Father, we indeed thank you for your love for us so much that you gave your Son to die in our place. Father, we thank you for his love for us to be willing to allow himself to be crucified in our place. Father, as this message goes with us this week, may we demonstrate our love for you and for him, such that we would draw nigh for all these reasons and those many more. And Lord, may we spend time and commune and demonstrate our love through communication, reading your word, time of prayer, and sharing the gospel with others this week. Guide us and direct us. Bring us again safely to see you. We pray in Jesus' name.